Welcome to the Issue Is podcast. I'm Alex Michelson. Another extraordinary historic week for politics. The president of the United States impeached, plus a Democratic debate in California. We went out to that debate, talked to many of the movers and shakers in the spin room. We also talked with Adam Schiff, the Democrat probably most involved with impeachment of all. But let's begin at that debate site with a special edition of The Issue Is on the road.
You're watching The Issue Is.
I'm Alex Michelson, and welcome to The Issue Is from the spin room at the Democratic debate at Loyola Marymount. You can see there is a media frenzy underway here after that Democratic debate. Some of the headlines, a big pile-on on Mayor Pete Buttigieg, and the smallest field we've seen so far.
The mayor just recently had a fundraiser that was held in a wine cave full of crystals and served $900 a bottle wine. Think about who comes to that.
I think winning matters. I think a track record of getting things done matters.
We've got an opportunity to speak to many of the candidates. Here's some of what they had to say. Joining us now is Senator Amy Klobuchar. Welcome to The Issue Is.
It is great to be on. Thank you. And thank you for hosting this debate tonight in the great sunny state of California. It's a little warmer than Minnesota.
We should have someone heading up this ticket that has actually won.
It seemed like part of the biggest fight of this debate was between you and Mayor Pete, and seemed like everybody and Mayor Pete. So what's your main point there as sort of the battle on the
Mine moderates? Was really, really simple. It is about experience, and it's about a decision of our party about who should be leading the ticket.
It seemed like also part of your point is you're a senator who legislates. And some of the other senators may be senators that talk a lot but don't legislate as much. Is that what you're going for?
I think that after these years of Donald Trump, who just divides people, doesn't work at all in any way across the aisle. Yeah, I think having someone who actually has respect on both sides of the aisle, I think it's going to matter.
Tom Steyer, welcome back to The Issue Is. Good to see you.
It is so nice to see a friendly face from California.
I can go toe to toe with Mr. Trump and take him down on the economy and expose him as a fraud and a failure.
We need to be putting ourselves in a position to beat Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's helpful under those circumstances to be going after each other, you know, about how we raise money. Mm-hmm. I think the key question here is we know how Trump's going to run.
Right.
He's going to run he said it last week. Did you see that? When he was talking to the Israeli-American conference, he said, "You don't like me and I don't like you. But you're all going to vote for me because if a Democrat gets into office, your businesses are going to disappear in 15 minutes. Yeah.
So then what is your strategy? How do you actually run against Donald Trump
easy.
In that scenario?
Oh, I think it's easy. Honest to goodness. Look, he is a fake business person. Mm. He failed as a business person. I actually succeeded as I started a business by myself. Mm-hmm. He's going to want to talk about prosperity. I know I spent 3 decades figuring out what creates prosperity.
And the question is, why am I the lone candidate of color on this stage? Fewer than 5% of Americans donate to political campaigns. You know what you need to donate to political campaigns? Disposable income.
I tweeted out that I thought your question and answer on race was your best moment on the debate stage so far this cycle. What was sort of your main point that you were trying to get out there, especially as the only person of color who has been able to make it to this stage?
The fact is, money and politics are very much wedded. And if you have Black and Latino people who can barely make ends meet, then they're, of course, going to participate in our political process at a much lower level. We have to even the playing field in terms of having a dividend of $1,000 a month for all Americans. And that would help balance the scale so that people of color could both support candidates at a higher level and also run for office themselves.
Biggest moment, best moment for you tonight?
How many of you all have a family member or a friend or a neighbor with special needs or autism? If you look around, most hands went up. For me, as a father of a child on the autism spectrum, when I asked people in the audience to raise their hands if they had a family member or a neighbor or someone in their lives, and seeing all the hands went up was a very heartwarming moment for me.
Anything else you want to add?
I just want to say the Yang Gang, we are growing. All the time. We're going to grow and grow and peak at the right time when the voting starts. This is the campaign of the people. Help us rewrite the rules of the 21st century to work for you. If it's not working for you, it's not working.
Andrew Yang, great to see you.
Alex, always a pleasure.
Thank you very much. Really appreciate it.
He's just as good looking in real life.
Our thanks to Andrew Yang. We'll hear more from him later in the show. But up next, the one issue that was not addressed here at the debate. Stay with us. More of a special edition of The Issue Is continues. Welcome back to a special edition of The Issue Is from the spin room of the Democratic debate. The most important issue to most California voters was not addressed during the one California debate. We're talking about homelessness. That's something I talked about with some well-known figures, including the governor of California. Is it disappointing at all that there were no questions on homelessness during this debate when it's the biggest issue that most people see in this state?
Disappointing, but absolutely not surprising. Yeah. I mean, the reason the issue is as big as it is because it's not been a top agenda issue, even for gubernatorial candidates.
Right.
It's not been a top issue, frankly, ever nationally. And for decades, we've been divesting, not investing, in making sure the vouchers that are coming from housing urban development meet the fair market rents of high-cost states like California. The biggest thing the United States government can do today, the next president, what President Trump can do tomorrow through executive order, is increase the fair market rents, the value of these vouchers, and we can get thousands and thousands of people in Los Angeles off the street in weeks, not years. Not even months.
Although it was strange, there wasn't a question about homelessness or many of the issues that Californians seem to really be focused on. What'd you make of that?
Well, you know, I think most of the people on that stage aren't from California. Yeah. And so they were trying to ask national questions. Yeah. And of course, as a Californian, I felt like, okay, you've missed some big points that we're all dealing with. And, you know, I thought it was a missed opportunity, honestly.
Up next, the other big issue of this week, we're talking about impeachment. My conversation with Congressman Adam Schiff is next. Welcome back to the spin room of the Democratic debate. The other big issue of the week, impeachment.
Article 1 is adopted.
If you ignore it, if you say the president may refuse to comply.
Congressman Adam Schiff of Burbank at the center of all of it. Earlier, I spoke with him. Congressman Schiff, welcome back to The Issue Is.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
So on a human level, as a man, as a congressman, as a citizen, what did it feel like to actually push that button and vote to impeach the president of the United States? And did it feel different than any other vote?
Well, you know, it's been said often that at times like that, you feel the weight of history. And you quite literally do feel the weight of it. You feel just the burden of taking a step that has been taken seldom in our nation's history and the responsibility that comes with it. But at the end of the day, my own conclusion was much like one of the constitutional scholars that testified. That is, if the conduct of this president withholding a military aid, hundreds of millions of dollars, to an ally at war with Russia in order to get help in cheating in the next election. If that's not impeachable, then nothing is. So the decision itself wasn't difficult given the facts, but nonetheless, you feel the real weight of it.
So you not only were the last person to speak and give the Democrats' closing argument, you also were rebutting the Republican argument for over 3 hours on the floor. What was that experience like, and what did you make of the Republican argument?
Well, what I had to weigh during those rebuttal times when the Republicans were speaking, they were making, in my view, false statement after false statement. I had to pick and choose which ones to rebut, because the more I spent time during the course of those 3 hours rebutting what the Republicans were saying, then the less time I'd have at the end of the day for that closing argument. So I wanted to make sure that I reserved enough time. But look, you know, that's the dilemma that you have in a proceeding like that. I think I was fortunate to have the opportunity to get the last word there. Although I have to say, after I did, one of my colleagues came up to me and said, that was pretty gutsy to give an closing argument without notes in an impeachment case. And I said, I'm glad you didn't say that beforehand, because you probably would have freaked me out. But in any event, I have to say I have the greatest admiration for some of our newest members that come from very difficult districts for which this was a politically very challenging vote. But so many of them are service members, former service members, and they have a real sense of duty And boy, did they live up to that last night.
Of course, one of those being Gil Cisneros from Orange County as well. So we asked all of the local Republicans that represent Southern California and Northern California in Congress to join us. They all declined the invitation for today. President Trump literally held a rally at the exact time that you specifically were speaking and came out to speak. Here's some of what he had to say.
It doesn't really feel like we're being impeached. The country is doing better than ever before. We did nothing wrong.
What's your response to that?
Well, you know, first of all, the reason you can't get any of the local Republican members to come on today is you would naturally ask them, well, do you think it's okay that the president asked this foreign power to investigate his political rival? They can't answer that question. And if you watched the 8 hours of their arguments on the House floor, none of them wanted to go near the president's conduct because it is so immoral and wrong and unconstitutional. In terms of the president, look, those rallies are a narcotic for him. You know, I think he stews and seethes in the White House, and he likes to go before adoring crowds because this president can't stand to have anybody stand up to him. And so to go to a crowd that is sort of built into fawn over him is what he needs at the end of the day. But look, the president knows, and this is what he's seething about, his conduct brought us here. His conduct has made him only the third president in history to be impeached. His misconduct, and he's going to have to live with that, and he's going to have to live with knowing that that stain will travel with him through the rest of his life and through the rest of history.
Part of the question about what's next is when will the Senate actually get this case for a trial? There are some on the left that are now suggesting that Speaker Pelosi shouldn't send it to the Senate at all because Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, has already said that he's basically going to acquit the president and work with the White House in doing so. Do you believe that? Do you believe that the article should be held in the House essentially indefinitely?
Well, I think the Speaker has said that she intends to send the articles to the Senate for trial, but she wants a fair trial. And I think, frankly, the president should get a fair trial. And the American people should have a fair trial that brings out the facts. Overwhelmingly, Americans want to hear, what does John Bolton have to say, the one who called this whole thing a drug deal and asked his staff to go report it to the lawyers? What does Mick Mulvaney have to say? Mulvaney is the one who said publicly, yes, there was a quid pro quo, essentially, that was the import of his comments, and get over it. There's going to be politics and foreign policy. He's the one who effectuated the hold and aid for the president. Obviously, he has important firsthand information to share. And then there's a mountain of documents that the White House has refused to turn over. I think the American people are entitled to see what's in those documents what we have seen already.
So if they don't, though, but the Mitch McConnell has suggested that there shouldn't be any witnesses. If he doesn't agree to have those people testify, do you think that the article should be sent over?
Well, that'll be a decision the Speaker will have to make. But again, I think what we should be pushing for, rather than the debating about the whether and the when of the articles being transmitted, is let's have a fair trial in the Senate. Let's require the senators to go on record and vote. Do they want to allow the American people to see the documentary evidence, or don't they? Do they want to allow the American people to hear from people like Pompeo and people like Bolton and Mulvaney and others, or don't they? And the answer is pretty resounding. Now, Mitch McConnell may want to lash up all he can with the president because he exists to do the bidding of the president, but that's not what the American people want.
So when there is a trial in the Senate, assuming that there is, then the House has to assign managers to manage this case, present the case. The Speaker has said she's not going to announce who that is yet, but should we assume that there's a really, really good chance you're going to be one of them?
Well, you know, I've certainly been discussing the managers with the Speaker, and there are no shortage of people who are very interested in serving on the manager team. I'm not at liberty to obviously go into those conversations, but I've told the Speaker that I'll play whatever role she'd like me to play.
Well, one person who chose to have an interesting role in all this was Tulsi Gabbard, Democratic presidential candidate, member of Congress, voting present on this issue. What do you make of voting present on the issue of impeachment?
Well, honestly, I don't understand that. And in many respects, I think it's a cop-out. the evidence is quite overwhelming, and you either think that it results in impeachment or you don't. I think many people are speculating that this may signal that she wants to run as an independent and neither wants to alienate the left nor the right. But look, we're all operating today, whether we're running for some other office or not, under the obligation we took when we took the oath. And I think that oath requires us to take a position on an issue like this that is of such seminal importance.
There are so many issues before the House this week. You acting on the USMCA, a big trade deal, acting on prescription drugs. You folks have also acted in the past on the issue of guns. The biggest issue locally in Southern California in your district is homelessness. And there are some critics that say while you all are busy dealing with the issue of impeachment, there are people literally dying on the streets and the problem continues to get worse. What do you say to those critics? And what more could be done by the House and by Congress to help on the issue of homelessness?
Well, you know, I would say this. You know, first of all, one of the bills you mentioned that we just passed, the funding bill for the federal government, makes a substantial increase in the investment and funding to address the problem of homelessness. So we are addressing this even as we work on other issues like prescription drugs, like doing away with this SALT tax penalty on California residents. But there is far more that we need to do. I've introduced a couple specific bills to try to deal with the homelessness situation, to create tax incentives, to create more affordable housing, to make sure that we also prioritize the housing for our homeless veterans. So I'm certainly working on it. Frankly, it's been a priority of mine for the last 20 years since I first, as a state legislator, got funding for the homeless shelter in Pasadena Union Station. And it's going to require a whole of government effort from the federal, state, and local level. There isn't going to be a one-size-fits-all. The problem has not been that we can't legislate in the House while we were working on oversight. We did, and in very significant and substantial terms. The problem is Mitch McConnell, at the urging of the president, doesn't want any of this to become law. And that is a very different problem and different issue.
Well, as we wrap things up, we always like to have a little bit of fun on this show. I can only imagine how exhausted you must be. We're going into the holiday season. I'm just curious, at your home, is your table a politics-free zone? Do families get into debates? What's it like at home for the holidays with the Schiffs?
Well, there are times when I wish it was a politics-free zone at home. And I have to say, can we please stop talking about this? But I'm really looking forward to the holidays as a chance to kind of get away from it, recharge my batteries a bit, take a deep breath. You know, when you're looking forward to either a plane ride or a train ride, that you're working too hard, because if you're looking forward to spending long hours in a confined space, then that pretty much sums up where you are. So I wish all your viewers and wish you a happy Hanukkah, a Merry Christmas, and a very happy New Year.
Well, same to you. Happy Hanukkah to you, Congressman. Happy New Year to you and your family. And thank you so much for taking time to talk to us on one of the biggest weeks of your career, Congressman Adam Schiff. We appreciate the time.
Thanks, Alex.
Our thanks to Congressman Schiff. Up next, a very unusual approach that Andrew Yang is taking to campaigning, plus some final thoughts from the Democratic debate. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Democratic debate spin room. Andrew Yang may have the most unconventional approach of all of the candidates left in the field. And this week, he got some star power behind him. Andrew Yang gets some high-profile help from Donald Glover, a.k.a. Childish Gambino. Glover and Yang hosting a pop-up shop filled with Yang merchandise signed by Glover. Glover, now described as a creative consultant for the Yang campaign. What does Donald Glover's support mean to you?
It's a thrill. He's such an innovator. He sees the future very clearly. How you doing, Alex?
The centerpiece of this pop-up shop and the centerpiece of the Yang campaign, the Freedom Dividend. That's $1,000 a month for every American.
Andrew Yang! Andrew Yang!
Yang says he sold millions of dollars in merchandise around the country, helping to fund his campaign.
Someone's walking around wearing it, and then someone sees it and says, what the heck does that mean? And then they get a conversation going.
I just think Andrew Yang is the future.
Daniel Hernandez is part of the Yang gang, lining up to buy this.
Got a nice signed sweater right here, and then a hat to support the cause.
Danielle Firestone cut Yang's slogan, Math, Make America Think Harder, into her hair.
I'm doing anything that I can to get the word out. I have Yang Bucks. I have the math hat, wearing the shirt. It's just people don't know who he is sometimes, but once they hear of him, they usually like his message.
Our thanks to the Yang Gang. A reminder that you can find out more about our show at theissueisshow.com. You can also send us an email. And don't forget to stream our podcast. Just search for The Issue Is. Next week, an exclusive one-on-one conversation with Senator Bernie Sanders.
And what are Hanukkah presents for your grandkids?
We're working on that right now.
Thank you very much. Happy New Year. Any New Year's resolutions for you?
Yeah, to become the Democratic nominee for President of the United States and defeat Donald Trump.
Our thanks to everyone who talked to us this week. Next week, as we mentioned, Bernie Sanders, a full sit-down with him. Can't wait to bring that to you. We hope you all have a very, very happy holidays. And please like, subscribe the podcast, and send us your feedback. We'd love to hear from you. Connect with me at Alex Michelson on social. Have a great week.